Are y'all ready for a mess?
Just do the best we can. It's hard to sing without music. Go ahead, we'll start singing.
Shackled by your heavy burden, neath the rod of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he came and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house? And I left my Bible over, honey. Give me that. Y'all want to sing you a little chorus or not?
Yes.
Okay.
We like that chorus. That sounds good. We can all sing it together.
Kind of covers me up.
All right. You ready? Come on. Let's stand if you feel like it. If you don't, just sit down. Okay. All right. Smile
a while and give your face a lift. Lift your hands.
Wave them a little bit.
To the one who loves you best.
Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning, and I'm looking forward to trying to preach this message. I want to tell you why. I told Brother Bill a while ago, and I looked at that song, Blessed Assurance, that he had. I hadn't said anything to him about what I was going to preach, but I had studied on blessed assurance. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And it sure is a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And I'll get this right in a minute. Maybe it sounds better without it. Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
All right. Have your Bible, turn with me to, if you will, to the book of Jude, chapter 1. Book of Jude, chapter 1. Have you found it? It's a little book just before Revelation. You know, there have been a whole lot of preachers that have been preaching on Revelation here lately. And I can understand why. I can understand it very well why they're doing it. And I probably would preach on it a little bit more if the Lord led me to. He'd have to, because I don't understand a whole lot of it. And I don't understand a whole lot of God's word, but what I do understand, it sure is a blessing. God's word is a blessing, but not only is it a blessing, it's also a book of judgment. It's not only a book of judgment, but it's a book of love. God loves us. He cares for us. And I'm thankful for that. But in Jude, and I'm going to read verse 17 down through verse 24. I'm going to try to bring you this message on Christian assurance. Christian assurance. And I will be using a few scriptures, and I don't need for you to turn there unless you want to. But I want to read 17 down through verse 24. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor to be in God's house today. Lord, thank you for the privilege of trying to bring forth your word. We ask, Lord, that you'll preach through us this morning. The only way, I cannot stand here alone. I cannot preach, but I know that, Lord, you're able to preach through me. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just do that this morning. Lord, help us to take our time, and Lord, not worry about the time, but just take our time, and when we get out, we get out. If we don't, then we'll be out this afternoon sometime. And I thank you for everything you do for us. Touch the hearts and the lives of each one of us here today, including mine, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. This coming has already come to pass today, hasn't it? Read it again. How that they have told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And these by they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And a son, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's in these verses of scripture here that we just read, there's the word keep and kept. Now, Jesus is the only one can keep us. And I hope that we have been kept, and I know that we have. You see, the words keep and keep are mentioned five times in what I just read. Now, the word five simply represents grace. The Christian word for five is grace. Now, some angels say they kept not their first estate in verse 6, if you go back and read it. But we also see that so are kept in chains. We must keep ourselves in the full, constant assurance that God loves us in verse 21. And surely God does love us. Praise the Lord for God's love, don't you? He's able to keep us, not merely from falling, but from stumbling. For it's stumbling here which precedes that falling. It's just like everything else. You see, something precedes what's going to happen. Everything that happens, something has already preceded that. may not be. Now, you may think what I'm talking about, you may be simply wondering what I'm talking about, but I'm not saying that it's something to represent what's going to happen, but I'm saying that there's something preceding what's going to happen. As we go through life, there's that way every time. Now, an illustration of this is, this morning, when you got up, you got ready to come to God's house, didn't you? Well, if you hadn't got ready to come to God's house, then you would not have come to God's house. Amen? Doesn't that make good sense? I think it does, and I think that you'll understand it after a while. Maybe somebody went right there, but that's okay. You'll think about it in a little while, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, we merely fall sometimes, and then we stumble sometimes, but I remember not too long ago, I stumbled and messed up a statue of hers, and it sure did bother me about that. I stumbled because before I stumbled, I got dizzy. See, that preceded the falling, didn't it? Well, before we fall into sin, we need to think about what we are doing. Now, God don't want us to sin, but the devil does. And the devil, a lot of times, will try to get you to do something that you might sin. But, you know, God's able. He's able to keep you from falling. Now, His is the power to establish you. The Bible says over there in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, now He's able to keep you from falling into error and from falling in love with other gods. I have known people that started out with Jesus and, excuse me, something happened, and I don't know what it was, but they began to kind of go toward false gods, and that is terrible, isn't it? You see, they were falling from their steadfastness, but God says that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Are we not? We're kept through the power of God through faith. He's able to present He's not only able to keep you from falling, but He's able also to present you faultless. This is going to be the honor of His own saving grace and His cleansing blood. As faultless one, we shall sing unto Him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. If we hadn't been washed in His own blood, then we wouldn't be Christians, would we? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we have to understand that. And you see, under Him who cleansed us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5. All right, then He's not only able to keep us from falling, He's not only able to present us faultless, but He's also able to present us with exceeding joy. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're saved? Isn't it wonderful to have the blessed assurance that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been born again? Isn't it a joy to know that you're on your way to heaven and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? You see, He cleansed us from all sin, but yet we're not perfect yet. We sin and come short of the glory of God. But when we ask the Lord to forgive us, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of that right at the time we do it, He will present to us that we need not to do it, then we did do it. See, He, for His joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, and He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. But His joy will be our joy. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The Lord's people are kept ones, in other words. He's able to keep, and we are the ones that are kept. Why? Because God loves us. He gave himself for us. You see, there's a difference between security and assurance. And let me share that with you. Security is God's part. It comes by the applied blood of the Lamb. Amen. And then there's an assurance and peace that is to be found by resting in the Word of God. In other words, we're to study and stay in the Word of God as much as possible. In fact, we ought to do it more than possible, if it's any way possible. Don't ask me to say that again, because I probably couldn't. But you understand what I'm trying to say. You see, assurance and peace ought to be found resting in the Word of God. Feelings have nothing to do with either one of them, security and the assurance. Neither one. Thank God we're not saved by feeling. But it sure does feel good to know that we're saved, doesn't it? It sure does feel good to know that we're on our way to heaven. Doesn't it feel good to you? If it doesn't, maybe we need to check up sometime. In fact, we need to take time sometime just to take inventory of our soul and our life. And then maybe God can talk to you through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But if you look into 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, here is something that I want to share with you, if you will. It says here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." There's young Timothy saying that. You see, that is, young Timothy had this, just like we should have, and we ought to be able to say the same thing that he did. That is, the assurance is fruit of faith. How are we saved? We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we not? All right. See, Paul talks about not just that assurance, but he talks about full assurance. I want to have full assurance. To have this full assurance implies some things to us. And I want to share with you this morning. First of all, I'm using 2 Timothy now, 1 verse 12 for this. What he said. Here's a personal knowledge of his character. For it said right here, "I know whom." That's personal character, isn't it? A personal faith in his word. He says, "I know whom I have believed." And then he goes on and says a personal commitment to his keeping. He says, "That which I have committed unto him." Not only that, but there's a personal conviction of his ability. You see, he said, "And I am persuaded that he's able to keep." Are you persuaded today that he's able to keep? I'm sure you are. Praise God for that. There was a strong meaning here. Paul was assured. He was convinced. He was satisfied. He was positive. He was confident. He was unhesitant about being saved when he was talking to young Timothy. You see, his faith in Christ Jesus had been tested beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you think about it, Paul, I guess, was one of the ones that his faith had been tested more than most any of them, except for Job. Maybe Job was, if you're talking about that, Job's faith was tested. Sure it was. But he passed the test, didn't he? Sure he did. I can hear his wife now, though. "Why don't you curse God and die?" He'd gone through all of this. He lost a lot of things. It boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. many things had happened to him. He had lost all his children and he had lost everything that he had. But he still had that faith that God was going to take care of him. And you know what? God did take care of him. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And God will take care of us today also. Let's just have that faith that we need. You see, assurance is fact and experience. And I want to use 1 John here for a few minutes this morning. If you want to turn there, I'll be telling you what I'm talking about from your scripture. In 1 John chapter 3, here's the assurance and it's fact in experience. Do you want to know whether you have passed from death into life? Here it is, right here. One mark by which you may test yourself, and that is because we love the brethren. Love must do something. Love must give something, and love will reveal something. Those three things love will do. Love is more than an emotional thing. It's intensely emotional, especially in that highest form of it which Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The love of Christ constraineth us. And I'm glad that the love of Christ does constrain us many times. I praise the Lord for that. Such love urged him to do something and to give something and to reveal something. And this kind of experience here reveals that a person has passed from death unto life. If you love the brethren, if you love Jesus, this love has great evidential value. And to our hearts and to others around us, in John chapter 13, verse 35, so this love is love in action. It's not only love in action, but it's sacrifice in action. And then not only is it sacrifice in action, but it's also kindness in action. Well, let's stop right there a minute and look at what Jesus Christ done for us there on Calvary's cross and why he done it. First of all, love in action. Jesus Christ died for our sin. That was action, wasn't it? Not only that, but his sacrifice in action. He sacrificed a lot of stuff right there. He sacrificed his life for you and I. He sacrificed his life that we wouldn't have to die. You say, well, we have to die, don't we? Not spiritually. But yes, we're going to die one day. The Bible says that. But you know what? That's talking about the physical death. We're not going to have to die spiritually. We're just going to be transformed into a new body. We're going to just change addresses, in other words. Thank God for that. Amen. It's kindness in action that Jesus Christ had for us. So assurance is fact and experience. Not only is assurance in a fact and experience, assurance is knowing God's favor for our life. That's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, there's a difference between security and assurance, as I already said. Security being God's part, and this is by the applied blood of the Lamb. Assurance and peace ought to be found by resting on the Word of God. Feelings have nothing to do with either one. I told you that. We see God's favor in these verses here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Here it is. The governing factors of successful prayer are being that is born of God. Being that is born of God. God doesn't hear the prayer of a lost person, but one. And that is, Father, forgive me and save me for Christ's sake. He'll hear that. But you, if you're not saved, you cannot talk to God like a Christian can. And we talk to God through Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus Christ is a mediator with us and God. And you see, that's being born again. And not only being born again, but obeying. Because we keep his commandments. Now, I've said this many times. We cannot in ourselves keep all the Ten Commandments. You may disagree with me on that, but that's all right. You've been wrong some too. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we cannot keep all the commandments. But thank God, the two commandments God gave us above all others. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. The second is likened to it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how many of us don't love ourselves? I don't sometimes love my ways when I stop and think about it. And you probably the same way. We're not perfect. We live for the Lord, yes, but we don't do it probably all the time. We fail him many times. That's what I'm trying to say. And not only that, not being born again of God, obeying God's commandments and dwelling. We dwell in him and he in us. He's the vine, we're the branches. Amen. We're grafted in to Jesus Christ. Amen. And then knowing according to his will, in other words. What's God's will for us? God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God's will for us as a Christian is that we live for him every day of our life. I think we ought not live for him on Sunday and then the rest of the week just, you know, diddle-daddle about things. We ought to be just as much a Christian on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday as we are trying to be on Sunday. I know churches are not open on every day of the week. But when they are open, we ought to be there. And y'all are faithful. I'm not seeing y'all probably. Y'all are faithful, and I thank God for that. But asking for the definite thing, God will hear and answer our prayer. Receiving. We have the petitions. Do you have those Bible principles right there? Do you have the assurance of those Bible principles that I just give to you? I hope you have. I really do. I believe we ought to have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. All right. Then we see that there is an assurance that is the focus on Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, if you want to look at it. You see, there's the certainty of salvation that does not depend on ourselves, but Jesus Christ. It depends on him, who is the Savior. He's the beginner. He's the finisher. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, and he's the end. He's the kinsman, Redeemer. Amen. All of these things. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the first 10,000 for my soul. How about yours? We have that blessed assurance. It was Christ that began the good work of redemption in the ones who were saved. It was the Spirit who convicted us of sin and quickened us into the new life in Ephesians chapter 2. And not only that, our focus is to be on Christ and not on men. It will be Christ who shall finish our salvation. Paul expressed no confidence in the ability of man to save, but he did in Jesus, didn't he? By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, that assurance means a whole lot to me. I hear people say that I've never doubted my salvation. I don't know whether you have or not, but I know I have. I doubted it. But God showed me some things when I asked him. He'll do the same for us today. I'm about right. I'm just about through now. I want to say to you today, in one little scripture, and that is in Isaiah 17, I want to leave this with you. Would you turn there with me, Isaiah 32, verse 17. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 563 in the Old Testament. There's two things I want you to remember while you're looking there. If you can keep your ears open a few more minutes. First of all, I want you to know that God loves you, and he'll do anything for you. He's able to do everything for you. Secondly is that he'll carry you home when this life is over. And even during your life, he'll be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And I want to read this right here about the assurance. And you remember those two things if you don't remember anything else I said today. And I'll go back and say it again. Jesus loves you. He gave his only begotten Son for you. And his only begotten Son died for you on the cross of Calvary. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm going away because I'm coming again. And right here, verse 17, chapter 32, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth to the feet of the ox and the ass. The Lord is exalted, this in verse 5 of the next chapter, for he dwelleth on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Because no one thing. He loves you. He cares for you. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. And the Bible tells us that we're going to one day stand before God. We're going to give an account. We're going to confess that God is God. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of trying to break the bread of life to these, your people. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, if there's one that needs to come to this altar today and pray, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just happen to do so. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.